It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. More than 20 countries rely on nuclear power, but not a single one has built a permanent site to dispose of nuclear waste. That includes the United States, where a presidential commission tries again this week to offer solutions.
This morning, we'll visit one country that is working on a plan for a permanent disposal site, Sweden. Two communities there say they are willing to take the nuclear waste. Ingrid Becker of member station KQED explains how that happened.
Like a lot of countries, Sweden has had its share of political meltdowns over nuclear power. Protests like this one stirred an uproar in the early 80s when the Swedish nuclear industry simply decided where to begin testing for a possible geologic disposal site. Today, instead of deflecting protesters, they're shuttling visitors by the busloads for guided tours at facilities like this one.
So we are 340 meters down. And here you can see that even if this is a crystalline bedrock and we are so...
In this working lab in eastern Sweden, a private nuclear waste company is testing methods for permanently storing used fuel. It plans to encase the fuel rods in copper capsules, then bury them 1,500 feet down in bedrock, where it's supposed to sit for the next 100,000 years.
It's very exciting to see, and it's an enormous project. Just the time scale is incomprehensible.
Jonathan Svensson is studying nuclear safety as part of his government job, and I met him on a tour that ended with colored lights and this music as we waited for the lift to the surface. Okay, so how did nuclear waste in Sweden go from a toxic topic to a field trip? The people I met said the industry needed to start over with
a transparent process.
Trust.
Have a predictable process.
Real public participation.
And you have to take the time needed.
And the industry took those lessons to heart. Inger Nordholm is a spokeswoman for the Swedish Nuclear Fuel and Waste Management Company, or SKB.
We know that we have to meet people and communicate what we want to do, why we want to do it, and how we will find a place for it.
Initially, company officials spent a lot of time just having coffee with people, explaining their plans. Then they began focusing on towns with stable geology, but also places where the people were used to living near nuclear power plants. Oskarshamn was one of two communities in eastern Sweden that stepped forward after nuclear officials asked for volunteers willing to let them start geologic testing. Charlotte Lillemark was just the kind of person a nuclear power executive would want to avoid.
This is stable.
The former Stockholmer moved to the country to raise dressage horses and did not want to waste them anywhere near her.
I couldn't see anything that was positive.
But then local government officials asked her to lead a community advisory group. She says they told her,
"We think that you could contribute to the work. We need to open up all the questions and to be clear and transparent. And we want you to participate if you want to."
And she did. Over coffee in the kitchen with her daughter, Lillemark says she spent 10 years studying the issues and advocating for her community. In the end, her community wasn't selected for the repository, but through her involvement with the issue, Lillemark says she learned a lot about the risk of not dealing with the used fuel, and it changed her thinking.
I can't just close my eyes and imagine that the fuel is not here, because it is.
After 30 years of research and development, Swedish nuclear officials applied this spring for a licensing application to build a geologic vault in the municipality of Östhammar, about 2 hours northeast of Stockholm. And if they get it, the facility could open in 2025. Jakob Spangenberg is the mayor of Östhammar.
We believe that it will not create this stigma, but on the other hand, create an interest on how to solve this very difficult issue that people in Japan and California and Germany must solve in one way or another.
Of course, the community of Östhammar will see some financial benefits. Besides new jobs and infrastructure, Östhammar negotiated a deal with the company to receive approximately $80 million for long-term economic development if the repository is approved. Already, the community gets money from a national waste fund to help it chart an independent course. They've retained technical consultants and hired 5 full-time employees. Spangenberg says Östhammar learned how to ask tough questions, press for conditions, and also to keep
very cool.
because he says there are many people out there who want to manipulate the situation to their own advantage.
Both from the industry and as well as those that are very much opposed.
There are still a lot of questions about the proposal and critics who feel the community has fallen for a very sophisticated and lengthy PR campaign. Ultimately, the community still has the power. Once regulators have completed their review, 3 or 4 years from now, Oostamer gets to either veto the proposal or say yes in our backyard. For NPR News, I'm Ingrid Becker.